Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am excited because tonight we will continue our review of the book of 1 Kings. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through Jeremiah the prophet, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be a tree by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the rivers. This is said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Now, the promise is that the blessing will come if you trust in the Lord. God said again, this time through Hosea the prophet, my people are destroyed for lack of this knowledge. Because thou hast rejected this knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. And I will also forget thy children. That's Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The promise is God will utterly reject you if you do not require or seek after his knowledge. God said again through King David, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. This is taken from Psalms 127, verse 1 and 2. The promise is that the house will not be built. Vanity will take over. You will not be able to survive it if you do not seek God and if he does not render it to be. The question again for this hour is, are you standing on these promises of God? Now, before we get started, I want you all to know, as I always do, and this is critical, my precious brothers and sisters, I think, that you realize that the Bible is written in code. I constantly remind you of this, more especially for those who are new listeners, that the Bible is written in code, meaning mysteries and secrets and parables and prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is why we are on the air tonight. That is why we are communicating one with another. That's why if you have a question or two or comment, go to the chat room and have dialogue with me. Now, let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Kings, 1 Kings. And we're going to look at chapter 12, 1 Kings chapter 12. We're going to read verse 17 through verse 19. And what I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you, that this is the storyline. Remember, we're in the book of Kings, and the Kings tells us various scenarios of the different individuals that were ruling Israel and ruling Judah at the time. In this particular time, we're talking about Adoram. And so the instruction I want you to pay attention to is Adoram stoned to death by Israel. That's what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Listen to the text. The text says, "But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem." So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And what's so significant about this is that if you remember the story from the last lesson that we had, that Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, and Rehoboam would not allow the tribes that broke away from Solomon to come back to him. And so he was trying to levy a tax against them, and of course they, being rejected, killed the person that he sent to receive the money. Okay, turn with me now to the book of Acts. We're going to look at the complement and see how it ties together with what happened to Adoram. Listen to what Acts chapter 7, we're looking at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. And I'm looking to see, I am looking, and if you hold with me for a minute, I'm looking for Acts chapter 7, verse 51, which I haven't gotten to yet. Acts chapter 7, verse 51, and we're going to read verse 51 and 54. Listen to what the Bible says. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Verse 57 through 59 completes the thought. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses that laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That is the comparison. I see we're at the first break. Let's take that first break, and then we'll come back and complete the instruction. Okay?
God said there's coming a day when I'm going to shake the world. But some things will not be shaken. Some things remain. In other words, there's coming a time when the world will be pressed and there'll be no way out. Those times come in your life, in your home. Tension, friction, financial trouble. You're pressed, and there doesn't seem to be a way out. There is an answer. There is a way. Jesus said, I am the way. But in the midst of all this changing, there are some things that never change. Think of it a moment. What never changes? The nature of God doesn't change. God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed to adapt himself to our generation. God is unchanging. I am the Lord God, I change not. God is unchanging in his holiness. We're all guilty of coming short of God's holy requirements, and we're all sinners, and we're all in need of the grace and mercy of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus came and died on the cross. He died for your sins. He died for mine. And God took your sins and laid them on Christ. God changes not in his holiness. And let me tell you, because he is our holy God, he is also unchanging in his judgment. There is a judgment day coming. Our God is a consuming fire. The Bible is filled with stories of judgment. Our Lord talked more about hell than he did heaven. There is a day of judgment coming. God is a holy God, and you and I are going to stand there. And when I stand there, I'm not going to ask for justice. I'm going to ask for mercy. I need mercy. I need the grace of God. I need the forgiveness of God. And I want to tell you a wonderful thing. God loves you, and he offers you tonight forgiveness, and he offers you mercy. God can forgive every sin you've ever committed. God can wipe the slate clean because of Christ. Not because you deserve it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. God is unchanging. He's unchanging in his love. God loves you. That's the most wonderful thing to go to bed with at night, to know that God loves me. God forgives me. God is interested in me. But I must receive him. Secondly, the word of God does not change. The grass withereth, and the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I settled that a long time ago. There are a lot of things in this Bible I don't understand. There are questions you could ask me that I cannot answer. I don't know all the answers in this book. How can a finite mind like mine comprehend the infinite? I cannot. So one day I opened the Bible and I said, oh Lord, I accept this as your word by faith. And that settled it from that moment on. When I quote the scriptures, I know that I'm quoting the word of God. It's a living word. And lastly, the way of salvation has not changed. All these centuries, the way to the kingdom of God is exactly the same. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He will never change. But you must change.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, just to complete the thought on the first instruction, we had Adoram stoned to death by Israel. We know why he was stoned to death by Israel. And the compliment compares it to when Stephen was stoned to death again by Israel because of Christianity. And so what this is telling us, my brothers and sisters, we have to be careful in our own ranks, because Stephen was a Christian and those that stoned him were, quote, unquote, potential Christians believing in Jesus Christ, but because they were not believing in Jesus Christ according to the Gospels, because they hadn't been written yet, but according to those disciples that were messaging what Jesus stood for, they didn't believe it because they wanted it to be a Jewish, gospel. Then they stoned him to death. So we have to be careful out there, because there are so many practices out there that are trying to collide with one another. You got the Christian Scientists, you got the Seventh-day Adventists, you have the Jehovah Witnesses calling themselves Christians, but they are colliding with, you might say, the main body of Christianity, the Protestant body. You even have the Catholic out there, which, again, they have their place, but be careful, my brothers and sisters, because they will take you to task if you don't adhere to the way they think and do things in the faith. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to 1 Kings, chapter 12 again. We're going to look at verse 20 through 24. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Listen, the text, well, the instruction says, God stopped Judah from invading Israel. All right, so what happened to Adoram, King Rehoboam was going to destroy Israel. Listen to what God did in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 20 through 24. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 84,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came from Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearkened, therefore, to the word of the Lord, and returned to depart, according to the word of the Lord. Now, this is telling us that, again, the house of Israel, even though they were split, they were still one under God. Now let's go to Revelations. We're going to look at Revelations chapter 20, and this is where we're going to get a comparison. This is the complement, Revelations chapter 20, verse 7 through 10. Revelations chapter 20, verse 7 through 10. And listen to what tells us, according to Revelations, concerning that type of invasion. And this is saying, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is of the sands of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. My brothers and sisters, they, meaning the devil, he attacked. And he was not supposed to attack. And he was devoured. And that is telling us at the end of time exactly what is going to happen. So we must be very careful about being outside of the family of God, because the end result is you will end up dead, tormented forever and ever in the lake of fire. Okay, let's go back to our next instruction. We're going to go back to, again, take another instruction out of 1 Kings chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verse 25 through 33. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind. I can see we're at the second break. Let's take the second break, and then we'll continue with the lesson. Let's take that break right now.
Isn't it funny when you have a work life and you have a home life, and you're torn between the two? And now let me explain to you why a man is torn between the two. He's torn between the two because men get their self-esteem from what they do, not from who they love. Women inherently get their self-esteem from who they love. They define themselves as being a mother or a wife, or I'm married, and they love all kinds of stuff that marks who loves him. I never will forget, I couldn't figure out why when I gave my wife roses, I didn't get the reaction that they got on TV. Because when they get on TV, the girls start crying, and, you know, she comes home and hugs the guy and throws the arms around him, and they fall over in the floor, and the door closes. And I didn't figure out how I could, because you see what it happened was that, you know, I wanted to, you know, like, you know. And so I called my sister, and I said, you know, I give her roses, it doesn't work. And my sister said, it's because you're not giving them to her in front of anybody. She said, it is not the roses. It's the oogling of all the women in the office when they bring you roses. And all the girls are saying, what? Girl, shut your mouth. Get out of here. No, he didn't.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction, 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25 through 33. And listen, this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to while I read the text to you. Jeroboam causes Israel to sin against God. Okay, then this is what the text says. It says, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go against and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he set in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So you can see that abomination had set in Israel, and it was because of Jeroboam. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see what the New Testament says in Matthew chapter 23 that gives us similar. And this is significant because what we're going to do is we're going to look at several of those things Jesus identified to the Pharisees and Sadducees. They did the same to turn Israel sinful against God. Listen to what Matthew chapter 23, verse 15 says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Verse 16 continues. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And then we're going to conclude the thought with verse 23 through 27. Listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisees and the scribes. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have obtained the weightier matters, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be cleaned also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. So you can see that the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the rest of these folks had joined together to corrupt Israel. And that's what Jesus was saying. So what is significant today, we must be very careful, my brothers and sisters. There are a lot of practices out there that are not godly practices, that are because man has devised them and think that they are well received and ordained. For sure, in Catholicism, there are so many ceremonies that have been devised by them that are not according, especially with look at the panoply of saints and of the Virgin Mary and the like. There are a lot of these practices, the rosary and others like that. I'm just talking about the Catholics right now, but there are others also that come up with these different devices that are not according to Scripture. And we must be very careful, my brothers and sisters, because they're causing us to sin. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to 1 Kings, and this time we're going to go to chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 5. And as I read the text to you, listen, I want you to keep in mind this instruction. God sent a prophet to condemn Jeroboam, okay? Just like God sent Jesus to condemn the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All right, let's hear what the text has to say. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, it says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon these, and men's bones shall be burnt upon these. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it shall come to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the sayings of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hands on him. And his hand, Jeroboam's hand, which he had put forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it out again to himself. The altar was also rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. So this is what happened when the prophet condemned Jeroboam. Now let's go to the book of John, and let's see what John chapter 1, verse 6 says, and then John chapter 16, verse 7 through 11 says, okay? That was the prophecy against Jeroboam. Listen, this is Jesus prophesying about the world when the Holy Ghost is sent. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 7 through 11. He says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. My brothers and sisters, that's the prophecy against the world coming from Jesus Christ and through the Holy Ghost. All right, I see we're at the next break. Let's take this break, and then we will resume with our lesson.
Changing realities is the fact that there are always people around us who are fault finders. Those who seldom see the great or the good, but are quick to point out the negative. During his presidency, Abraham Lincoln was a man greatly respected, greatly reviled also. Blamed for plunging the nation into war, he was the president's people loved to hate. Those who opposed his views regarding the war and slavery, as well as his efforts to keep the nation united, were vocal and uninhibited in denouncing him. In fact, one day during the darkest days in the Civil War and of his presidency, it was said that Lincoln was walking down a street near the Capitol in Washington when an acquaintance caught up with him. As they walked, the man brought up the subject of the growing anti-Lincoln sentiments flowing in Washington, as well as throughout the country. And with brutal honesty, the man related to Lincoln many of these stories outlining attacks on Lincoln and his policies. As the man spoke, Lincoln remained completely silent, absorbed in his own thoughts. Well, finally, the exasperated man asked, "Mr. Lincoln, haven't you heard me? Are you listening to me?" Well, Lincoln stopped, looked directly at him, and said, "Yes, I've heard you. But let me tell you a story. You know that during the time of the full moon, it's the habit of all the dogs to come out at night and bark and bark and bark at the moon. And this keeps on as long as the moon is clearly visible in the sky." At that point, Mr. Lincoln stopped speaking and continued his walk. Well, confused by Lincoln's response, his exasperated companion persisted, "Mr. Lincoln, you haven't finished your story. Tell me the rest of it." Well, once again, Lincoln stopped walking and said, "There's nothing more to tell. The moon keeps right on shining, no matter how many dogs are barking or how loudly." So once again, Lincoln was a great role model for managing criticism. And he certainly was aware of his shortcomings. He knew that many highly respected, influential people disagreed with him. In fact, one of the highest members of his cabinet said to a friend of his one time, "Abraham Lincoln is a fool." Well, somebody told Lincoln about that, and the president stopped and thought for a moment again, and he said, "Well, he must be right, because I respected that man and still do. He's a great statesman. I must be a fool." How many of us would get to
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue on. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18 through 22. We're going to get another instruction out of here, out of this text of 1 Kings chapter 13. Verse 18 through 22, and what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you is that the prophet disobeyed God. And this is in the same text and scenario of what happened to Jeroboam and the time frame he was in when he caused Israel to sin against God. Listen to what the text says, verse 18 through 22. "He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but came back and has eaten bread and water in the place of the which the Lord did say to you, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulcher of thy fathers." My brothers and sisters, you can see because of the disobedience of the prophet that the Lord took his life. All right, let's go to Revelations chapter 2. And we're going to look at what the Spirit says to the church. In Revelations chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, this is what the Spirit says to the church at Ephesus. Listen, and we will understand what God has said and what he is going to do if we do not follow his commandment. "Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember wherefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. My precious brothers and sisters, we are being told by the example given to the folks or from the book of Revelation, that if we do not listen to God, if we leave our first love and do not repent, that this will happen, that our candlestick will be removed, meaning we shall die. Okay, let's go back to the next instruction and go back to chapter 14 this time, 1 Kings chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 5 through 10, chapter 14, verse 5 through 10. And we're going to, I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. The prophecy of Ahijah against the kingdom of Jeroboam. So here we have another prophecy against the kingdom of Jeroboam. And this is 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 5 through 10. Listen. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman. And it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, while feignest thou self to be another. For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who keeps my commandments, and who follow me with all his heart, to do that which is right in my eyes, but hast done evil above all that was before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. So you can see that God has sent Ahijah the prophet to curse Jeroboam to death. Now let's go back to Revelations. And we're going to go back to Revelations. And we're going to look at, again, in Revelations, we're going to look at Revelations chapter 2 again. And this time we're going to start with verse 18. And we're going to see the Spirit speaking to the church again. That is critical, because God, through the angel, God or Jesus is telling us exactly what's going to happen if we do not obey God. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. It says, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like unto fine brass. Then verse 22-23 completes the thought. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulations, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works. My precious brothers and sisters, that is the prophecy against us if we are seduced by the world. Now I see we're at the last break. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete our lesson.
Usually when we say, hey, you need to humble yourself and repent, we typically see that as like a rebuke, a negative thing. And it's true. I mean, we need to humble ourselves and repent. And that is difficult, but you've got to understand grace always follows humility. And so for us, we need to be people who understand every time I humble myself, it's going to work out for my good. Now what happened with Job is that happened on this earth. And there are times when that happens. I mean, the idea behind this story is that it works out in the end. But there's other places in Scripture, like when you read the book of Hebrews and it talks about these people who have faith, it says very specifically at the end that there were some people who never got to see it in their lifetime. But their reward was going to come later. They were willing to suffer whatever they needed to do on this earth because they so believed. They had a faith, and they said, no, God promised a reward for those who earnestly seek him.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete or continue with the lesson this evening. We're going to look at Acts chapter 11, or Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. No, we're going back to 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 19 and 20. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 19 and 20. And what this is telling us is just completing the story about Jeroboam. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you is the acts of Jeroboam. Everything that Jeroboam did, we read a little bit about what he did, but there was much, much more. And this is what verse 19 and 20 says. It says, and the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 2 and 20 years. And he slept with his fathers, and Nadab, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay, so all I'm trying to do here is just keep in consistency with the way that the books of Kings were written. At the end of each episode or scenario about a particular king, they always refer to other data, giving more details on that. So that's what this is telling us. And what we're going to do is we're going to go to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 11, verse 10 and 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 10 and 11. And this is what the compliment says, that is comparing the acts of Jeroboam. Acts chapter 11, verse 10 and 11. Listen to what it says, my precious brothers and sisters. It says, and this was done, Acts chapter 11. I'm looking at the wrong chapter. Acts chapter 17. I retract that. Acts chapter 17, my precious brothers and sisters, verse 10 and 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and 11. Listen to what the Bible says, the New Testament. And the brethren immediately, for some reason, I do not have the correct, I'm trying to see where it tells about the Bereans in the chapter, it doesn't give us or give me the information that I'm looking at. I apologize that I don't have the correct reference, but what I'm trying to refer to is it's in the book of Acts, and it does say Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and 11, but it's not correct. What it's referring to is the Bereans, who searched the scripture daily to see if what was written was true. And that's where we get our information from, as the Acts of Rehoboam was identified in the Bible. We get all of our information that we need to complete our journey here, this side of eternity, through basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. And that's what I was trying to refer to, but I wrote the wrong book number down, and I apologize. Okay, so let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. We're going to take another instruction from 1 Kings chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 1 through 6. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. God gives repentance to King Abijam because of his lineage to King David. And again, this is just showing an example. What I do is I take one instruction out of each chapter. And in this particular chapter, it's talking about a repentance to King Abijam because he was linked, he was in the house of David. So let's read what verse 1 through 6 says. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother was the daughter of Abishalom, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father was. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. So you can see, and the final verse says, and there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. And so we know that that was something that happened. And now what we're going to do is go to John chapter 3. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to John chapter 3. And we're going to see in verse 16 through 19 what Jesus has to say, or what was identified according to God giving repentance to King Abijam. Listen to what God has given us repentance for. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, this is so significant because of the lineage of Jesus. This is our repentance. Listen to what verse 16 through 19 says of John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and man love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. My brothers and sisters, God has given us repentance through his son Jesus because of Jesus. And we should understand that because of our belief in Jesus is the only reason that we get this repentance. All right, let's go to the next instruction. That is what I wanted to bring to your attention. Now we're going to go to the next instruction, 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. And as I mentioned prior to this, we're going to be looking at the Acts of Abijam. Okay? So in the same instance as we look at the Acts of Rehoboam and the Bible Chronicles, in the book of Chronicles and in the book of Kings, all of these different kings and their acts. And this is where, in this particular chapter 15, I want to be consistent, it tells about the Acts of Abijam. And it says in 1:15, 1 Kings 15, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of the Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead." Okay, so now the book of Acts, and as I mentioned before, what I have done is gone to the book of Acts, and I have not identified the correct chapter and verse, but what I was trying to relate to, and I'd have to resolve this later, but we are talking about that the Bereans, they searched the scripture to ensure that what was written was true. And as we are identifying the acts of all of these individuals, it is written in these books. And so what is in basic instruction before leaving earth is our written documentation of accuracy, what we should be following in order to satisfy our salvation this side of eternity. Okay, so my brothers and sisters, I think we may have time for one more lesson. Let's see. And we should turn our attention. No, I think that that was the last one for this evening. So what I'm going to do is thank you again for you, the host, and I would like to thank you for your diligence and participation in this lesson tonight. Hopefully you got something from it. And if you need to contact me, you can do that through that number that was given earlier, or I'll give you a number that you can contact me that I, you can, it is 561, well, I'll tell you. You'll have to wait until the next time that I can get you that information. But anyway, thank you for participating, and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.